You don't have to look very far to see that we're in a broken world. Am I right? The world that we live in has been broken for a long time. A lot of people try to fix it, but there is no fix from us. It was in the garden a long time ago when Adam and Eve sat and walked in the garden, and they ate of the tree in the middle of the garden, which they were not supposed to eat from. And from that moment on, it wasn't just a contrary to God thing, even though it was. It wasn't just a disobedience thing, even though it was. Things changed from that moment that they bit into the fruit in which they were told not to eat from. And there were consequences to their rebellion or their disobedience that didn't just affect them, but it affected their children and their grandchildren and all the way down to us. And until Jesus comes again, we will continue to feel and to see the effect. So much so that God would tell Adam in the first part of Genesis. It said, because you have listened to your wife and ate of the tree from which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat from the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. This world has been broken for a long time. The picture that's going to pop up here on the screen in just a moment is a picture that I experienced this week. And this isn't I'm sorry, Michael, you had to experience this, because it's not about me, and it's not even about the picture. But the young lady that is draped over the casket, and we actually had to or her husband that's standing behind her had to help her off of it. In that casket is the body, the remains of her 30-year-old brother who was killed in a motorcycle wreck just days before that. So much so that he was not even recognizable, and so the casket had to remain closed. What you don't see in this picture is behind the casket would be a young lady by the name of Alicia. That would be his widow at the same age, very pregnant, with about to have their first child here any day, the first part of August. I'm telling you, preaching school doesn't prepare you for stuff like this. Life doesn't even prepare you for stuff like this. And you may have been in this moment yourself, and you may have stepped in the shoes of these people that suffered heartache. But this world is broken. You want to say it's okay. Everything's going to be okay, Alicia. Everything's going to be fine. But the truth is, it's not. Because in this world, we're broken. And I know that everything's going to be good in the future. I know that everything is going to be good when Christ returns. But the truth is, in this world, not everything's okay. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit. And this is just my heart for what I experienced this week to share to you. That maybe some, whether you follow Jesus or you don't follow Jesus, you listen and you hear from the Word of God, and the Word and the Spirit changes you through the Word this morning. Here's the truth. Our life is short. I probably don't have to tell anybody this morning. But I promise you, that morning when Ethan spoke with his wife, he said, I think I'll take the truck to work this morning. And then he came back in and he said, no, I think I'm going to take the bike. And then a little bit later, he came back and said, no, I really think I'm going to take the truck this morning. And then finally, he came back in, and his final decision, he was going to take his motorcycle to work that morning. I promise you that they didn't think about that. I'm sure that he patted his wife's belly. I'm sure that he spoke to young Silas that was about to be born into the world. I'm sure that they didn't think about the days ahead and that what would happen. Elisha did not think that Ethan would not come home that day. Life is short for us. James would say this in the message, and now I have a word for you who brashly announced today at the latest, tomorrow, we're off to do such and such a city for a year. We're going to start a business or make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You are nothing but a wisp of fog catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Life is short. And when you think about it, whether you live as long as Ethan did at 30 years old, or you live to be 102 years old, life is really short when you look at eternity and that lifespan. The psalmist would write this: "You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure." Life is short. We don't have to be reminded of this. The psalmist would also say, technology is wonderful until you start to use it. He remembered in Psalm 78, he remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. Psalm 102 verse 11 says, "My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass." Psalm 103 says, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more." Job would have this to say in the middle of his distress and struggle. He said, "My days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle. They come down to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath, and my eyes will never see happiness again." In the middle of his struggle, and if you don't know the story, go and read the story of the life of Job and what happened to him. But we're not going to be here forever. And maybe that's a message that I want to hear. And if this is ringing, are we good now? All right. If you don't remember anything this morning, remember how short our life is. Remember that you don't, we're going to talk about that in just a second, but I think we think we're going to live for a long time. I mean, we have plans, right, Alina? We're going to go to college. Alina's going to be the best doctor ever, right? Maybe, possibly, she can do the best she can. But you might not see that day. We might not see the day after today. We might not get out of these doors. We might not see tomorrow. We might not see next week. Well, our life is short, but God's life is eternal, or God's nature. God is eternal in his nature. The psalmist would write this: "God, it seems like you've been," again out of the message, "it seems like you've been our home forever. Long before the mountains were born, long before you brought earth itself to birth, from once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God." The Bible declares in the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God did what? He created. God has always been there. And God will always be there. You see, it's like we have eternity on this side, and so Adam and Eve came in to be here, and then we have death on this side. So as far as you can look that way, and as far as you can look that way, that's God. Now, we are different than God, and we work different than God works. We work off of a timeline. I mean, what are we having for lunch today? Most of us have already decided what we're having for lunch. Most of you know what you're going to be doing next week. Most of you know what you're going to be doing next year. I mean, school starts this week. Yay! Are we excited? Parents, yes. Teachers, no. But we know when school starts. I think it starts on the 5th, 4th, or 5th. Some of the other schools start on the 9th, and another school starts on the 12th. And we know things. And so we work off a timeline. We work off calendars. And without calendars, we wouldn't know what to do. Greg wouldn't know what to do in Santa Fe. And there's certain agendas, and there's certain stuff that has to be done. We work off of timelines. I mean, you cadets, I mean, you got timelines, right? And if you don't, I mean, Commander Administrator West, whatever he is, Mr. West will sure tell you that you're not on your timeline, right? Amen. They're back there nodding their heads. We work off a timeline. That's us. And we can't do that. God is not the same. The day is 1,000 years is 1,000 years as a day, right? I mean, that doesn't mean 7 days, 7,000 years to the Lord. That's not what he's after there. What he's talking about is God doesn't work on our life span. He doesn't work on our calendars. He doesn't work and do the things that we do the way that we do them. Someone has said it's much like he spoke of it as the sitting at the Rose Bowl parade, sitting front and center whenever all the performers stop. And you have those that are coming, you have the future, and then you have the past, those who have already passed, and really you see what's right here. You may see what's coming, and you may see what's going, but you see what's in front of you. But that's not God. God is the one who sees the past, the present, and the future, and he does it all at the same time. I don't know how it works. I don't know how he does it, but God is in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future all at the same time. And that's different than us. Life is short for us. Life is eternal for God. And we work different than God, or God works different than us. Such a God is too much many times for us to be able to grasp. I don't know about you, but thinking that God always was, sometimes it's easier for me to think that God always will be than God always was. See, life didn't start with a big bang. Other than the bang that God made. It didn't start with just a molecule or an amoeba crawling up on the shoreline and all of a sudden deciding that, hey, I got to have legs and I'm going to grow legs today. And man, I'm a little hungry and I want more than just what's on the ground, so I'm gonna grow some legs so I can eat something that's in that really pretty tree up there. And I think I'm going to just go on and on. And life didn't start like that. Life started beyond that. And God always was. The psalmist will say in Psalm 154, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. That's why we worship. That's why we sing to God. That's why we pray. That's why we gather around a table, because of who God is. Isaiah would say this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, he's always been the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. If you're trying to figure out God, stop. I think so often we try to contain God, and if I can figure out God, and one of the questions this last week was why? Why does God allow something like this to happen? Why does God allow something? Why couldn't he have just allowed that truck to be a little further ahead and not turn over onto the motorcycle? Why couldn't God allow and put in Ethan's head that why don't you go ahead and take that truck today? Why couldn't God have broken down the motorcycle that day so he had to take the truck? Why couldn't Ethan have been sick so he didn't have to go into work? He had to call in sick. And there were tons of whys this week. And we begin to think that we can ask God and we can tell God, and we put God in this box, and when God didn't fit in this box, we're like, what's up, God? Why are you not working the way I want you to work? If you've lived very long in this world, you know that God does not operate the way that we think God should operate. Is it easy? No, it's not. Romans would say this. Paul would say this to the church in Rome. Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. You can't follow him this way. You can't follow him that way. You can't go this way. God's not designed that way. God's not designed. He's simply God. Paul would also write to the church in Ephesus, although I'm less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. I'm going to stand before you this morning and tell you that we can't understand God. To tell you that life is short, God is eternal. We don't work like God. He works totally different than we do. But God is boundless in his riches. I believe that. Do you believe that? Say amen if you believe that. Amen. All right, a few of you do. All right, that's good. Do you believe that God is boundless in riches? This world is broken, but God is still God. And I think that's the... I got some time left. Praise God. That wasn't a joke. Some of y'all laughed. I think that's at the end. If you read the book of Job, Job begins to question God and question who God is. And then God will say, listen, I will ask you a question. You will answer me. And he begins to say, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? So he takes Job and all his brokenness and he puts it before him and he said, Job, I am God. And many times we need to understand that God is God. And yes, this world hurts. But one of the things we have to do in response to all this is we have to trust in him. All right? Trust that that God that created the world is a God that will save your soul. Trust that the God who formed your body is a God who will save your soul in the end. And we have to learn to trust in God. If you belong to him, we have to remember that we got to live for him, all right? If you're still here, if you're still in this world, despite the brokenness of the world, you've got to live for him. Paul would write to the church in Ephesus. He would say, so I tell you this, not just tell you, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened by their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus Christ. You were taught with regard to the former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Some of us are living a life that doesn't reveal the life of Christ. And that's what he was telling them. Remember in chapter 2, if you're familiar with Ephesians, the first part of the letter, he was saying, you were dead in your transgressions, but now you've been made alive in Christ. And so he was talking about the former things versus the new things. And some of us are living a life walking in Jesus Christ that doesn't represent God at all. Someone has said that, I don't know who said it. Somebody told me this a long time ago. If you were put on court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove that you are? Do people know that you believe in Jesus Christ? Guys, when you go to school, young ladies, when you go to school, will people know that you belong to Jesus Christ? Will people know by your actions and by your heart and by the words that you speak at school that you belong to Jesus? I mean, in camp, it's real fun. It's real easy, you know. We sing that song, I believe in Jesus, I believe in him. You know, and we sing it. We're excited about it. And we want to be like him. And then we forget to be like him when we go to school. What about when you go to work? There's a lot of us that go to work, and people don't know that we believe in Jesus. I'm not saying that you stand up on a box and that you Start proclaiming Christ standing on a box like I've seen people in the big cities do. But do you live like it? The language that comes out of your mouth tell that you belong to Jesus. Do the actions you proclaim tell that you belong to Jesus? See, I believe we've got to trust in Him. It might be hard, but we've got to. He's God. I believe that we've got to live like we belong to Him. Amen? Got to do it. The world's watching us. And if you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ, I think you've got to surrender. I don't think. I believe. I know you have to surrender. Just an hour after the sister was draped over her brother's casket, this is what happened.
Most of the time, it's ladies first. But this time, I want to do Robert first. Because Robert, I believe firmly that God has called us guys to leave the house and to lead spiritually. And we talked about, that.
Turn your head like this, you can see it better.
To be able to baptize.
Wow, so that's awesome.
Use this and count to 15.
Robert's going to be baptized, and he's going to baptize his wife.
For you, sir, what we're going to do, when you go under, we're going to squat as far as you can and kind of go back. I don't think I can get you back up.
Have another cheeseburger.
You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Robert?
Yes, I do.
All right. So just as Apostle Paul said, that those of us who have been baptized have been buried with Him. Just like He rose from the grave, you too will raise from the grave and have your new life. Start over, do over in Jesus. It's the most amazing thing that ever happens in life. And only Jesus can do this kind of do-over. So today is your new day. So based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And guys, this is your dad taking a stand saying, I'm starting all over, and I'm starting all over with Jesus Christ. You ought to be proud of Mom and Dad today. And you will follow in their footsteps one day as well, we hope and we pray. One hand on the nose.
Hold it up.
Just want to
go down.
All right.
Amen. Amen, exactly.
I'm going to pause for a moment. And I'm going to ask Lindsay to stop it, see if you can fix it and turn it around, because I want you to see this. This morning when I came tested the sound, it flipped the other way. So I said, all right, well, I'll flip it. And it worked just fine. I ran through it about five times. And it chose to flip again. Technology is wonderful, like we said. Lindsay's going to flip it over so you can see in that. Now, I've told you before, and you might not remember, although I think, Doug, that they hang on every word that we say, but there's a young lady that always calls me when there's something going on in her life or in her family's life, and she asked me to pray for her. And I talked about how sometimes that scared me, because what if it didn't happen? And I talked about that being maybe a lack of faith on my part. This is that young lady who always calls and or texts whenever there's something going on in their life in prayer. So we've been working on these two. And by the way, not only did I baptize Ethan and Alicia, Mary, Ethan, and Alicia, I also married Bethany and Robert about 3 years before that. So, and if it won't straighten up, that's okay.
Most of the time, it's ladies first, but this time, I want to do Robert.
That's okay. We can.
Robert, I believe firmly that God has called us guys to leave the house and to lead spiritually. But I want you to be able to baptize your wife.
Wow, so that's awesome.
Baptize you for you all trade places. Use this and count to 15.
I think he asked how long he could hold her under.
Okay, and so for you, sir, what we're going to do, when you go under, we're going to squat as far as you can. And kind of go back. I don't think I can get you back up.
Have another cheeseburger.
believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Robert?
Yes, I do.
All right. So just as Apostle Paul said that those of us have been baptized have been buried with him, and just like he rose from the grave, you too will raise from the grave and have your new life. Start over, do over in Jesus. It's the most amazing thing that ever happens in life, and only Jesus can do this kind of do-over. So today is your new day. So based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And guys, this is your dad taking a stand saying, I'm starting all over, and I'm starting all over with Jesus Christ. You ought to be proud of mom and dad today. And you will follow in their footsteps one day as well, we hope and we pray. One hand on the nose. Hold
it
up. Just one down.
All right.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. Exactly.
Bethany, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
Ah, amen. Based on that confession, just like Paul said, when we're buried for Christ, just as he rose up from the grave, we rise up from the grave. Today's your do-over. Boys, be proud of your mama. Today's a good day. All right? Based on that confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's for Ethan.
Thank you, Paul.
Good job, guys.
God is so good.
What you didn't hear at the end of that was, now you for sure will see Ethan one day. If you are on the ropes and you are thinking, maybe one day, today is that day. Amen? Yeah, today's the day that you surrender to him and give your life to him. Afterwards, we were sitting around, and I was sitting, or Bethany was here, and one of their twins was in between us. She looked over at me. She says, is it okay if I'm a little rough around the edges? And I said, Bethany, yes. Everybody's rough around the edges. If we weren't, we wouldn't need Jesus, and we wouldn't need to do what we just did. Praise God for what happened. Life is short. Do not think that you have tomorrow. Live for him. Live for him. Who needs to hear the message of Jesus that you know of? Who needs to hear that he can save them from their sins when they're rough around the edges? Who do you know that needs to hear the gospel? Don't be scared to share it. Don't be scared to tell them that life is hard, life is short, but Jesus saves. Who do you know that needs Jesus today? How many of us need to start living for him? Live for him, and if you're not his, surrender to him. That was my week. My brain went from this way to that way in all sorts of ways, trying to figure out things in life. But in the end, what it boils down to is being his, right? Are you his? If not, do you need to be? If you need to be, today's your day. You can be baptized, proclaim your faith into him, be baptized into Jesus Christ to begin to live your life for him. If you need to live for him, you're already his, you need to begin, start it today. Today's your do-over day. God is a God of do-overs. If you need him, you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Will you come down front as we stand, as we sing?